Christmas. Happy holiday.
Merry Christmas.
Today we're going to continue as we talk about this theme is Christmas time, and in just a short few minutes here we're going to be taking communion together. But before we do that today, 2 weeks ago we talked about Christmas time as a time for thanksgiving and learning to thank the God before the blessing, thanking the Lord for the gifts. How many people would like it today if your children came to you and said, "Dad, I just want to tell your mom, I just want to tell you, I know I haven't gotten any..." Lost my mic. There we go. All right. I haven't got any presents yet, but thank you in advance. I just want to thank you in advance for the presents I'm going to open up next week. Has anybody got that thank you yet? Okay, that doesn't usually happen, does it? And so, but as a Christian, we are called to be more than juvenile. We're called to be more than immature, but we're called to be mature Christians who we learn to thank God in advance. That in that season of Thanksgiving in the heart opens up a Christmas blessing. It's no, I believe, no accident that Thanksgiving is before Christmas, because God's trying to teach us something, that it's always precedes, that Thanksgiving always precedes Christmas. It's a Thanksgiving that we thank the Lord and receive His blessing after, not thanking Him once we receive the gift, but thanking Him before we receive what we need. And then last week we talked about Christmas as a time for forgiving, and many of you came to the front last week and pinned to the cross the thing that had been chaining you up, the unforgiveness or bitterness or hurt that maybe had been leaving you chained up this Christmas, and you decided last week that you were going to leave it on the cross and allow God to set you free from that. What a tremendous response last week. Today I want to talk to you about, just for a few minutes here, we're going to take communion in just a few minutes, about the thought that Christmas is a time for what? Christmas is a time for peace on earth. A time for peace on earth. Look what the scripture says here. This is a great verse. Great story, and we find in Luke 2:10. It says, "And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.'" Hang on, I think I read that wrong. Did you guys, is that a typo? I think that should be only to certain people, right? No, it's what the Bible says. It said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to what? To all people." That's even the praise team. Can you believe that? God would even love a praise team like this. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you that you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And then suddenly there was an angel of the multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And today we're looking at that part, on earth peace, that God came in baby form. Now today, how many know we are celebrating the birth of our Savior? And I would say that as that is technically right, it is theologically not really a true statement, because our Savior was in existence long before the manger. Our Savior was in existence long before the manger. What we're celebrating is that God Himself took on man form and came as a baby, because God was already in existence. In fact, Scripture even teaches us that Jesus was what? That God created. God created, and Jesus was around then, and He helped create the heavens and the earth, man. And we know this to be a fact according to Scripture. You know, I heard a story one time of a little boy playing outside, and he loved to play with the ants. And he would always, you know, feed the ants and be out there playing and building forts around his ants. He just would get down on his hands and knees and just kind of get there in the ants' world. And one day, his dad was there, and his dad was doing some yard work, and he was spraying the yard down, and the water was coming, and he was watching as the water was taking out those ant hills and drowning those ants away. And he was just thinking, "Dad, stop. Dad, stop. You're killing the ants." And his dad's like, "You got it right, I'm killing these ants. They need to get out of my yard, you know." And this little boy was just so upset because he was trying to save the ants. And he was just yelling at him, "Hey, go. My dad's coming with the water hose. Get out of here. Go, go." And those ants didn't hear him. Of course, they just kept on their busy ant way and making their tunnels and taking all the stuff back to the queen bee. And, you know, some things never changed. It's a queen ant. Some things never change, anyway. And he thought to himself, if I could just become as an ant, I could go down there and I could communicate to him and tell him to get out of here. You know, and that sounds funny as we think about it, but really, that's what God did for us. And it wasn't just a story. It was a true story that God took on our form. It wasn't just the God of the universe making rules and regulations. It wasn't just the God of the universe saying, you're going to do this and do that, and yelling and screaming from heaven, hey, repent. Hey, I love you. Do you know how much I love you? No, God said this. He says the only way they're going to be able to communicate to them is I'm going to have to become one of them. And so he sent his son to become one of us. Now, if it had been me, I'd have came on. I thought, you know, I wouldn't have been born a baby in the manger. I would have waited to the halftime of the Super Bowl when the whole world's watching. Put the, you know, with the parachute fire behind me and, you know, angels would have carried me in. Woo! You know, and the whole world would have saw me coming in. But that's you and I. That's the way we would have done it. But God chose a different way. He chose a baby. Not born at the most famous hospital in the world, but in a manger, in a stable. Couldn't even find a place at the local inn. Born out with the animals. That's our Savior. He didn't come to scare us. He came to save us. He didn't come to intimidate us. He came to love us. He took on baby form. Why? Because he wanted to bring peace on earth. Have you ever looked at a baby and not felt peace? I mean, there's something about looking at a baby and not feeling threatened, is it? I mean, there's just something about looking at their faces when they smile. This is such a peaceful thing, except when they're crying, of course. But when they're not crying, they're sleeping. It's just such a peaceful thing. And God says, I've come to bring you peace on earth. For many of us here, we need peace in our life. For many of us here, we live our life without peace. As a matter of fact, what Christmas does, what Christmas should do, is multiply peace in our life. But what it does is many times it multiplies the very thing it shouldn't, and that is turmoil, depression, things that are going on because of things that maybe have happened in our past, and we're not looking forward to Christmas, and Christmas just kind of escalates those things. And instead of walking around with peace, we walk around and inside we're a wreck, and we have turmoil going on, and we're fighting off depression. We don't want to face another Christmas. And to you today, I say that God brings us peace. To you and me, God brings us peace. We look for peace in so many things in our life, and we never find it. Inside of us, God has made a desire to find peace. And so we start off as a young age trying to find peace, and we look for it. If I can just get big enough to eat at the big table at Christmas time, then things are going to be all right. I can get out of the sippy cup and get to the big table. We get there to realize we're still getting leftovers. We're not getting the whole thing, man. We think, well, if I just get old enough to get to junior high, then everybody's going to give me respect. I'm going to get to junior high and get picked on. If I can just make it to high school. And you get to high school and realize, man, this is an awkward place to be. It's not as easy as I thought it would be. Well, if I can just get my license, then I'm going to be independent and I'll have peace. We'll get our license and we're ready to all of a sudden realize how much cars cost and how much gas costs and insurance costs. And it's not as easy as we thought it would be. Well, if I can just graduate, we graduate and realize, man, it's a big world out there, a lot of tough decisions. And if I can just get my college education and we go to college or we get a good job, if I can just get to a certain point and we get an education, all right, if I can just get this behind my name and we get degrees and we get good jobs, if I can just make so much money and we get money, and if I can just get married to the right person and get married, and if I can just do this or do that, if I can just have enough, if I can get my own house, if I can have a family to call my own, if I can have 2.3 kids, I'm going to be happy. And those things happen in our life, but they don't happen, and still there's no peace. And so we look for peace in different things. We look for peace in addiction. We look through peace in broken relationships and one-night stands. Look for peace in things that don't bring anything but maybe instant gratification, but bring an emptiness aside. And so the more we're empty, the more we try and do more things and try more things, and the more risks we take and more challenges we take on. Well, I just need to take on another job, or I need to take on this and do that, and this will bring peace to my life. And the question is this, and really the statement is this, that we'll never find true peace until we allow Jesus to rule our heart, until we allow the peace of God. He says that, behold, today I bring you peace on earth. How many times do we look past it? That peace comes not from a relationship. Peace doesn't come from a certain amount of zeros in our bank account. We can watch the news today and know that's so true, isn't it? You can have all the money in the bank you want, all the fame you want. You can be married to a model. You can be married to... Well, it doesn't make a difference. You're not going to find peace in things. You're not going to find peace in relationship. You're going to find peace only in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where we find our peace at. And so when he says peace on earth, we need that peace. We need that peace. When you get the phone call from a doctor giving you news that you don't want to hear, you're going to need peace on earth. When you get phone calls and get news about people and loved ones that have passed on, you're going to need peace. When the economy crashes, you're going to need peace. Every one of us, it doesn't make a difference how long you've been saved or whether you're a Christian or not a Christian today, every one of us need peace. We're going to need God's peace. I remember different times in my life that I just didn't think I could do the things, and it was the peace of God that ruled me. I remember walking into a hotel room thinking I was going to meet my in-laws there and getting the note saying they had been killed in a car wreck, and I had to go out and tell my wife that our only brother had been killed, and with his wife. I had to go get my mother-in-law out and tell her that our only son had been killed. I had to take my 4-year-old niece and tell her, explain to her she was coming to live with us and we were going to adopt her. At 26 years old, I didn't think I had it in me. I was overwhelmed. But you know what? It was the peace of God that came and ruled our hearts. It was the peace of God that sustained us through those tough times. It was the peace of God that carried us when we couldn't walk on our own. I remember about 7 years ago, well, about 6 years ago, I walked into a doctor's office, surprised to be pregnant, and then walked into a late ultrasound. It's a surprise, it's going to be twins. A doctor picked me up off the floor. I remember about 6 weeks into after the twins had been born, and they were born and made number 4, number 5. I wasn't ready for that. The financial pressure of how am I going to support 5 kids? Twins, we were getting no sleep. Our son Hayden was born with some birth complications, and we were going back and forth to Kansas City Children's Mercy almost every other day, and just getting no sleep. I mean, I was just at my wit's end. I remember one day I was driving down the highway about 6 weeks in the middle of July. I remember this very right before the 4th of July. I was driving down the street, and I just started crying. I couldn't stop crying. And I just couldn't cry. I just couldn't take it any longer. I was breaking. In my heart and in my spirit, I was breaking, and I was just crying for no reason at all. Just crying and crying and crying, and I just felt so overwhelmed. And all I could get out of my mouth was, God, I need you. And when I got that word, God, I need you out, I could just feel the peace of God come to my car right then. I felt God's peace come and just overtake my heart, and I said, God, I need you. And then as soon as I got out, God, I need you, I said, God, I need you. God, I need more of you. When I'm weak, you make me strong. God, in your arms, that's where I belong. You're my shelter in my time of storm. I find strength in you, oh God. I find strength in you. As I began to say that, I didn't plan that. It just began to come out of my heart and spirit. As I said that, God's peace just flooded my car like I'd never felt in my life. And I just felt God come in and just breathe new life into me, new peace into me. I was able to go home and be supportive of my wife the way I needed to be and my family. We're all going to need peace at different times in our life. Things happen that we just can't control, and we're going to need God's peace. You're not going to find it in alcohol. You're not going to find it in a relationship. You won't find it in a one-night stand. You won't find it in religion. You'll only find it in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And once you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, it's up to you to say, God, now I'm trusting in you. I will not only accept you as Savior, which we've done and we celebrate, but today, God, I want to learn to accept your peace on earth. It's a peace on earth that he's given us. John 4:9 says, and God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. This is it, guys. This is real love. This is what real love is. That God sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. This is real love. That he brought this gift to us. And this gift that he brings to us. God's gift to you today, number one, let me say to you this. It's personal. This is the most personal gift that you'll ever get. He says, unto you this day. Not to unto your neighbor. He says, unto you. That's you. That's me. That's the person standing next to you. That's all of us individually. He says, unto you this day is born a Savior. God's gift to us of his son is it's personal. I'll tell you what's the most practical gift, number two. It's the most practical gift you'll ever receive. What else could you use? I need peace all the time in my life. I need grace all the time in my life. I need forgiveness many times in my life. What the most practical gift I could use is a Savior who brings me peace, joy, hope, grace, forgiveness. It's a practical gift. It's priceless. It's a priceless gift today. It was not bought with money. It was bought with his life. It was bought with the Savior's life that he willingly gave up his life for you and I. That he took on our form so he could communicate to us how much he loves us and warn us, hey, hey, there's a better way. There's a better way. There's a better way. Don't be destroyed, but look up. Follow after me and I'll show you the way out. I'll bring a new life to you. I'll bring a new relationship that you can walk in the new kingdom of God. Experience the fullness of the kingdom. He came and took on man form to share that with us. Not only is it priceless, but it's also permanent. It's the gift that will last forever. This Christmas, we're going to open up a lot of gifts. We're going to have a lot of things open up around the world this Christmas, in our own homes, throughout this community. But how many know that when we go, we're not taking any of it with us? I mean, they're just gifts. Even though they mean a lot to us and took time to shop and give them out, the bottom line is they're really just gifts that we give to our children because we love them, to each other. But they're not going to last. They're not going to last. A lot of these toys will be broken next week. Some of our kids will play with the boxes more than they play with the toy you put it in. Some of the things we're excited about tomorrow and next month, they'll be stored away in the closet somewhere, not even playing with it. That's just how we are. They don't last. They're exciting, but they don't last. How many are glad today that our gift of our Savior is not like that? The gift of our Savior will last throughout eternity. So today, I don't look for peace and things because everything I need is in him. I don't look for peace in relationships because I get my peace from him. I don't look for peace in addiction because everything I need comes from the peace on earth given to me by my Savior. It's up to me and you to accept that peace today. I'm going to ask our servers today to come and prepare to serve our communion. While they're coming to serve our communion today, I'm here to say to you today that God brings peace on earth. He brings peace to you, brings peace to me. I don't know about you, but I know that in my life, at many times I've experienced that peace as I talked about, and there's so many more I didn't mention today. I say to you and I today that we all are going to need peace in our life on a daily basis. And at some point, you're going to need it in an extra way in your life that seems like you can't walk with, function without it. But it's the peace of God that He said will pass all understanding. It's God's peace. It's God's peace. Today, we're going to come and we're going to take to the Lord's table. What we're going to do is I'm going to invite you to stand. And we're going to, the right side, your right side is going to come down this side right here, the left side over here, the middle section right here, if you're looking at me. Just kind of draw an imaginary line right down the center. Half of you go this half, go over here, this half fall over here. And as we come today, come through the line and receive your elements and go back to your seat. Just remain standing, holding those elements. And then once everybody's served, we'll pray over those together and receive those together. But come, let's receive the elements today of the Lord's table.
As little children, we would dream of Christmas morn, of all the gifts and toys we knew we'd find. But we never realized a baby born one blessed night gave us the greatest gift.
For a world that was lost, He gave everything that is. was the reason to live.
Don't you know? We're the only reason.
He came to give us peace. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Today we know that scripture teaches us that Jesus, when he was with his disciples, one of the last things that he did was teach them the importance of remembering the Lord's table. And this is what we call communion. He says when we come together, that oftentimes that we do this together as remembrance of him. I can think of no better time remember what Jesus did for us than this week as we celebrate him coming to earth, taking man form, to warn us, to love us, to teach us. He didn't have to, but he did, because he loved us that much. He loved you that much to give us his peace. And he didn't just shout it from the heavens, but he came and brought peace on earth with him. He walked and showed peace. Everything he did, peace just came out of him, man. So today as we look at the bread, we remember that this represents his body. He says that we take the bread. He said this bread is a representation of his body. His body which was nailed to a cross. His body which took the stripes upon his back. His body which was beaten severely for you and I. But his body, which brought peace with him. Peace on this earth. So today, Father, we lift up our bread to you. And we bless it. Thanking you, God, for your body, which is broken for us. But most of all, we thank you, Lord, that you took on the form of an earthly body, so that you could come and bring peace on our earth today. To the person hurting today, God, you speak peace. The person, Lord, fighting depression today, you speak peace. To the person not looking forward to this weekend, you speak peace. And you brought it with you. You didn't just speak it, but God, today, you brought it with you and you walked this earth so that every one of us here today could experience a peace that passes all understanding. And we partake of your body today in remembrance of your body. Just given for us. Let us eat together. Then likewise, in the same manner, he said, take of the cup, which represents the blood of Jesus. How many of this was no ordinary blood? It was the blood of a righteous Savior, tempted in many ways, but was found without sin. Spotless lamb, fulfilling the prophecy that was to come forth, saying that a lamb must be slain. Today we take of the cup, knowing that it represents grace and mercy. Today you can have peace from your past, knowing that it's God's grace and mercy that takes away our past mistakes, our past sins, and separates them from us. Never to be brought back up. Never to be brought back and thrown in our face. But he takes our sins and he erases them. He deletes them off the file. Never brought back up again. He brings peace to our life through a forgiveness and relationship with Jesus. This blood was the only blood that had power to forgive us of our sins, to redeem us. Let's thank him for his cup. Father, today, we thank you for your cup. which represents the blood of Jesus, which was given for us. For no greater love hath a man than this, than he would lay down his life willingly for his friends. And God, that's what you did for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ, you died for us, forgiving us. Before we even asked, God, you were willing to forgive. And all we do today is ask that you forgive us. And God, as we do, we know that you have brought grace to us, mercy. This cup represents your blood, which represents mercy, forgiveness, redemption, a regeneration that comes to our heart and life today. We take it now in remembrance of you, thanking you. Let us drink together. Now in your own way today, just begin to thank him. Can you do that in your own way? Thank him for his peace. Can we do that? Can we just lift our hands to him this morning as a sign of surrender? God, we lift our hands to you today, thanking you, God, for your peace, which passes all understanding. Father, right now, I just speak out as your messenger this morning, God, as a pastor over this local congregation. God, I speak that your peace would rule our hearts this Christmas. God, the peace on earth, we receive that today. No longer to walk around, Lord, with things that are causing us to be depressed or causing us to live in turmoil. But God, we're going to walk around in peace because you have brought it to us. We're going to learn to let the peace of God rule our hearts and our minds and our spirits. And today, as we take of your cup, we tell you personally that we love you. Come on, in your own personal way, tell them how much you love them. God, we love you so much. Thank you, God, that when we are weak, God, you're at your strongest. That, God, you do come to us and you rescue us and you hold us and take us through a time of storm. You take us through our darkest hour and sustain us. You lead us one step at a time. And though we walk through the shadow of the death, God, we will fear no evil because you are leading us and guiding us. And today, Father, you're taking us aside your still waters. You're restoring our soul. We know goodness and mercy are going to follow us all the days of our life today, God. Our cups are running over. We're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, thanking you today, God. Thanking you today, God, for your mercy. Thanking you today, God, that you are the reason that we're here. But God, the reason that you're here is because of us. That's why you're here. It's because of us. We needed a receiver, a Savior. We needed to receive forgiveness. And so therefore, you came. Therefore, you came to us. And today, we worship you. Today we receive your peace. We receive a relationship with you. Thanking you, God, for your mercies and blessings upon our life. We walk in your peace today. When we stay together, amen. Amen. God bless you today. Thank you so much for being here this Christmas season. I trust this week that you will have a great Christmas, whether it's with just a few or many. I trust that God's countenance be upon you. Take time to read the Christmas story to your children. I'm not talking about the night before Christmas. I'm talking about the one found in the Holy Bible. Read that story. I challenge you. Read that story this Christmas before you open up your gifts. Explain to your children, this is why we have gifts. This is why we celebrate Christmas. Before you leave today, make sure you go to the very back and get some of those donuts. Take them out and spread them around and deliver them today. God bless you today. You guys have a very, very Merry Christmas. Amen.